This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Big Fish by FFH, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah, I'm a kid Diego.
Yuck. Hard.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
It's me.
How dare you?
Oh,
consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
It's me, the source.
Stop, it's a rat!
Horny.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm the other half of the horny duo, Caroline.
We're gonna have Good Christian Fun. That was Caroline and Kevin. I accidentally harmonizing on the word horny on a recent episode.
Did you tune us? I guess that was actually not tuned at all. So
it was not tuned at all.
You
I raised the
treatment.
Levels a little bit. Yeah, but
can I hear it one more time?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, it's so
Let's
nice.
Let's hear that tag once more.
Stop,
just again.
Horny.
It sounds like two scared mice.
Yeah.
Who are like, you know, like
if
adolescence
Cinderella's
is coming.
Mission was to like get some instead of just getting to the ball. Getting to the balls.
Okay. Yeah, we're just trying to get her there. Good Christian Fun is the podcast about Christian pop culture, the movies and the music and the entertainment.
It's ultimately what it's all about.
It's what it's all about. Made for and by Christians. We're not here to make fun of you. We're not here to make you go to church. It might be dangerous to go to church still, depending on where you're at. We don't know. We don't know your situation.
If you're not vaxxed, waxed, and ready
and
to
have
Jax,
some snacks, vaxxed, waxed, and ready for Jax in Maine, live at the Greek Theater.
You got Jax on the brain. You got Maine brain.
Do you think he's like, oh yeah, I've heard of the vaccine, but welcome to the Jaxine. And then it's just his, you know.
The Jaxine clinic.
The bedroom. Wow.
Oh, he's going to inject you.
Off to a great start. Off to a great start on this.
We found a deep well right there.
And so did I. Great start for the 189th episode of Good Christian Fun. I think you can tell this is like 189th episode vibes. This is like what we have to talk about at this point.
Horny.
Yeah, Jaxine.
My wife. Yeah, baby. Again, the oh, transformation boy. To zoo crew morning drive time radio is
we all
is
dunked on
complete.
Them for so long, but if we were on the radio as often as they were,
they
that's
were ahead
what
of the
it
curve.
Becomes.
Yeah, it's either this or, you know, doing Joe Rogan saying of like, hey, maybe racism is good. I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
Kind of free form. Yeah, we can say bigoted shit yeah. all the time. Yeah.
But listen, Caroline, yeah. we're having some goofs and grins, but we're here to talk about something of substance and importance.
No, we're here for a serious conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're here for a dialogue mm-hmm. And a sort of conversation.
A meeting of minds.
Yes, and talking about the band FFH, Far From Home, which did, it stood for Far From Home, because it's like, hey, as Christians on this earth, we're far from home. Oh. But then apparently, this is according to like a couple of sources, it was like, and also because we tour so much, we're just on the road so much,
oh
we're
my
far gosh. From home.
I'm so much on tour that I actually am never able to be home.
But then the other origin story with that acronym is that it first stood for 4-4 Harmony. F-O-U-R, F-O-R, Harmony, because there's four of them.
Terrible.
And they started as an a cappella group, so.
Terrible. I mean, so much better that they did that. Also, when I hear FFH, I just think fashion.
Really? Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. Oh, what a compliment to me. You're someone else. I don't know. I don't know who that
this
is.
This would be what it spells out.
We're talking about the song Big Fish, but we cannot talk about it alone. We need a very special guest to talk about it with. So, friends and folks, he is a therapist. He is a writer. You may know him from his podcast, The Prophetic Imagination Station, or as a side piece of D.L. Mayfield. Give it the hell up for Crispin Mayfield! Woo! Oh, Dexter got freaked out. Oh, it's okay, Dexter.
Back.
No, I just, back. I can't hold back when I hear that music. I told you off mic that I only know Amy Grant Christmas music, yeah. But I mean, this is like, this just is the air that the water that I swim in.
This is the juice,
the air that
right?
I breathe. Yeah.
The air I swim in,
this
the
is
water
the
I breathe.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Jaxine Maine.
It is.
God damn it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Where was this in the previous episode we recorded that's coming out 3 days from now?
I can't believe it.
Oh, my Lord, Crispin.
Much missed opportunity. Goodness but gracious. Glad you're here. Oh. I think we need a Crispin to bring out the magic.
Mm-hmm. 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 Crispin, mm-hmm. I mean, like, what did that... If you want to give me and Caroline some sort of crowd work base level, what did Crispin get and attract in terms of nicknames, in terms of wordplay in middle school?
Lots of crispy... Crispy. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crispin Cream, Crispin Glover.
I mean, really, like, going back to the Amy Grant thing, really, I just got called Christmas all the time. Oh, like, that was,
terrible.
Like, an insult.
Lame.
I also got lots of mail targeted to girls. So I just, you know, the Crispin name, I guess, fell in that database.
Wait.
I don't think Crispin is femme at all. But
are you saying like junk mail came to you that
yes,
was like female
right, like,
targeted, like, mm-hmm. like beauty
yeah,
brands and
so
stuff?
So excited. Like, yeah, it was like, oh, like I got this like piece of mail and then you open it and it's like for like a girl's magazine.
That cracks me up like, thinking that magazines are just reading our names and be like, guess it's a girl. Just put it in girl just in case. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Alex really broke their brain. On that one, Alex,
a
good number of women named Charlie now. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, what a nightmare for them.
Yeah,
I am.
Mess.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I mean, this was like the 80s in
crazy.
Southern Oregon, mm-hmm. so maybe they were like, all right, well, if we target the like rural towns, we can count on those gender norms.
Yeah.
Right?
They're no like, one yeah, would name like their son can, Crispin.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah. Like, maybe it's not across the U.S. It's just, like, these specific places we know we can, like, reach girls.
Exactly,
and we know that
yes.
this is going to get to. Yeah.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, well, it's a great name. I really like it.
We love it. We'll never make fun of it.
Hey, don't change for us, okay?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it leads to the question, how do magazines get a hold of the information of six-year-olds? That's like maybe a whole other
especially
conversation.
Before
but...
freaking Facebook.
Right, yeah.
Well, were you on Instant Messenger a lot?
That
the case in the 80s in Southern Oregon?
You know, yeah, right. That was a little bit later, but, you know, America Online got that AIM, mm-hmm. you know, chatting.
Yeah.
I love that.
We
Wait,
let the devil right in our door when we pop that AOL disk in the computer.
And by the way, and this maybe will transition into like your history and story with faith and whatnot. Do you remember your AIM handle and your screen name from that time?
Yes, I was super into Christian hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
So it was feeling like screaming. And
feeling
so
like
that
screaming?
Yes.
Wow.
Which was also my Hotmail address. And so it was feeling like screaming at hotmail.com.
Dang.
And like adults would always be like, oh, that's funny. Like you're really frustrated with your email address. But it was just like, no, I was. I don't like, feel no. like screaming at Hotmail. It was like, no, you're misunderstanding me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. No, I'm like, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm going to assume this technological platform kind of missed you given your history and your marriage right now. But feeling like screaming, awesome Hinge profile bio.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be just like interpret as you wish.
Yeah.
What are we screaming about? How are we screaming? Are we screaming together? Wow. At each other? It could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. But for me, it sent a shiver down my spine. I think that was the intended effect. It scared me to my core.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Shaking my boots.
I'm DTS. You want to scream.
DG. I think this is an interesting question we can ask, especially our guests who grew up Christian. Is how did your Christian faith as a kid influence your online behavior as you were growing up?
The answer for me was none at all.
Not once?
You damn shits.
That was, I'm quoting Kevin in defense of Garfield.
I was defending Garfield and saying, calling a bunch of children damn shits for not recognizing Garfield as King Cat of Cartoon Mountain. That was my bit. But how did it affect
You know, it was like before Facebook. So it really was just like online forums for Christian bands.
Yes.
So if anything got a little like spicy or snarky, it was always like, hey, like let's make sure that we're reflecting the fruit of the spirit here.
Wow,
like there'd be some like moderator to like shut it down with a Jesus juke.
I feel like it would a Jesus juke. It would be like the one wholesome corner of the internet is everyone like policing each other for like kind tones.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Man, I was into that stuff around a similar time that I was like first getting to AIM, but I don't think I post on any like message boards or forums. I remember going to JesusFreakHideout.com, which still exists in some fashion.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
that was probably
exactly.
Like, that was like a Wikipedia for you back then. I would assume.
Right.
But we'd love to know your basic general history with faith and religion. It sounds like you grew up in Southern Oregon.
Yes, I grew up in Southern Oregon. My dad was a pastor, so I grew up in the church.
Oh yeah.
And then I was a missionary kid.
Wow.
My parents became missionaries. We moved to China. I was that kid that like wanted to, you know, be the good Christian kid. Like in third grade I dressed up as David.
Yes.
I did a book report on like First Samuel.
Oh my god.
And then like had to like present, right?
Was this at public school?
Yes, this is at public school.
Okay.
Right. I mean that was the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like this is my like I get to like evangelize. Like they asked the question,
totally.
Like, what's similar between you and your character and your book character? And I said, we're both Christians, which is really like hilarious.
And we both
because
love the troops.
Right. Because David, let's be clear that David was not a Christian.
David was
Jewish. But that's like what I wrote I came across this recently.
I wore
my mom's salmon swimsuit cover up and just like tied a belt around it.
That's awesome. And that's a good lesson in like, you know, something.
Wait a second. Was the salmon cover up supposed to be like you were naked on top? Like that was your nude outfit? Or
No, it was so just like the only color that we had. So it was like, we need
like
something that looks biblical, but it happened to be like the salmon
like a caftan?
Right, yeah.
I love that.
I guess he would have worn
like
a fun
V-neck,
color.
You know?
Okay.
Like,
yes.
It's a little ahead of its time.
Yeah, okay.
So the kids at school, you were the envy of everyone's eye in terms of pure coolness.
Style, swag.
Mm-hmm. Mad swag. And it sounds like it was sincere for you. You were not forced to go to church. You wanted to go to church is what it sounds like.
Yes, that is true. Like, I wanted to be that Christian kid, you know, like in... I went to like both like first and second service Sunday school.
Whoa.
I feel like only like some like churchgoers understand that. Like
back
and
to
I was
back.
Fine. I was fine going to both. Like
wow.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the only downside was that the pastor's son was kind of a bully and he would hit me with his hardcover Bible.
Dang.
And I only had a soft cover.
In what context would he hit you?
Wow.
He was kind of a mean kid. Oh, shit. There were multiple pastors. I'm not going to like call anyone out, but you know,
by protecting
like my wife did
like
when
that.
She talked to you.
We are complicit in a system of hurt and pain.
People are sending Max a hardcover huge Bible to this day.
Right, but he only came to one of the services, so it worked out. Like, you know,
the other half, you were king of the castle. Mm-hmm. What did your expression of like being, you know, evangelical in a school setting change once you were in China?
Yes, because I went to a Christian school at that point.
Yeah, okay.
So where my dad was, I mean, they were missionaries, quote unquote, but my dad was the principal there. And my uncle was like super small, like seventh through ninth graders. There was like eight of us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was, you know, really like shifted in a huge way, but it was very international, which was cool. And I think in a lot of ways that like saved me from American Christianity.
Yeah. Because your fellow classmates were from around the world as well.
Right. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So yeah, I had like both in terms of church and class, like the class that I had was like, you know, South Korea, the Philippines, Malaysia, Australia, England, which was really rad. Mm. Germany. I think that was like a big piece of it. And then I think the other piece that really like even then kind of shifted my faith in a way was like, I remember it was Christmas. I was like 16 and we're talking about like Jesus is coming, like, you know, Advent, like Jesus came to save the world. And I'm like, I'm in a city of 20 million people that are going to die and go to hell according to this belief system I have. Like, who the hell cares if Jesus came 2,000 years ago? Like, what does this even mean? And I think like if I just grown up in my like Christian, you know, hometown, like I don't know if I would have had those questions. But yeah, definitely like I feel like starting at 16, I started like poking holes in things. And that's basically been like the story of my faith ever since then.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting, too, that it the sort of question or beginnings of deconstructing whatever that orthodoxy was by taking it too seriously or like super literally where it's like, okay, if this is true, but then it was just your context that was changed. Because that's not usually most people's story with it, or at least the ones that we talk to, but it was because you were in a context where it's like there would be such a multitude of injustice or discrimination.
Mm-hmm. Like most of the people I know would go to hell rather than, everyone I know is a Christian. Yeah. So yeah, it makes sense. And I don't feel like perturbed or scared by the fact that none of these people would be there with me afterward or something.
And that's what these friggin' flyover states don't understand.
They don't get it.
They don't know what it's like to be in a melting pot.
They don't get a lot of stuff.
Like Pasadena, California, where we're just confronted with
just a huge swath of humanity on the daily. were your classmates, I'm assuming you were friends with some of them too, but were they also like questioning things at the same time you were you guys able to talk about it together and like process it
a little bit? Like really what happened was like it started off that way, and then like the older I got, like people would move back to the States or wherever and nobody moved there, so it was just like me alone, which was sort of sad.
Oh man. Oh, you're saying like they just dwindled down to just you at the end?
Right.
Oh man.
Yes. It was like I was like the only high schooler.
Oh.
I had some cousins, you know, I mentioned my uncle. I had like five cousins, all boys, who lived also in China.
Okay.
But they would like kind of come and go on furlough. And so it was like, it was a lot of alone time. But then I like made friends with these like Chinese punk kids down the street from me. There's this tattoo parlor. And of course, I tried to evangelize them. But what ended up happening was I fronted a Chinese
tattoo.
Punk band.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my
gosh,
you did? Oh, wow.
Yes. For like short time. But it was pretty fun. We would go to this like Chinese bar, and it was like the only like alternative bar in like the whole city. It was called Little Bar.
Cool.
And so I was like this 17-year-old kid, and they're all like 25 and like,
oh my gosh.
So that was like pretty fun.
The name of the band?
What was the name of the band? I was trying to remember.
Little Band?
Only a front man would forget the name of his band.
Wow. I know. Oh, it was in Chinese. Yeah. It was in Chinese. But what I most remember is like I had this War on Drugs t-shirt that I would wear.
To be clear, our listeners, it is the actual War on Drugs, not the great band War on Drugs.
No,
that was your t-shirt. Yeah.
Yes. Like literally like got it from my dad's friend who was in like search and rescue, but they also spent like a summer like hunting down all the marijuana plant
farms. My gosh. It probably like had a photo of Nancy Reagan on it. Like with
right, yeah.
And
like, right, yeah.
Like, I love this guy.
Right. And it was like a tight black t-shirt, so I was like, this is so cool, so I'd like wear it, and like they would all be like, oh yeah, like drugs. We're on drugs. Right, drugs,
sure.
And I had like no idea, like I was still like this like just like, naive missionary
actually
kid
drugs. Yeah. Yeah,
right,
yeah. War on this line of cocaine right now, snip. Wow.
Did that like group and that bar and that whole scene also have an influence on you and like what you understood about God as well?
Yeah, definitely. It was again just like, oh, like this is like really different than most of the people I know. And should mention that Ashton Kutcher had a huge impact on my faith.
Really?
Probably something you've never heard before. No, I watched
that's actually pretty common. I mean, there's a lot of that 70s show salvation
kind of every
stories.
GCF right. episode.
Or Deconstruction, where it's like, I saw his version of the Steve Jobs biopic and I no longer believe in God. It's not for me anymore.
If God existed, he wouldn't have let that happen. Yeah.
How did he play into yours, though?
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's lots of ways that that could play out. I watched that movie, The Butterfly Effect.
Sure.
Which is like really intense and like trauma after trauma after trauma. And I was like, oh, like the church has absolutely nothing to offer people that have experienced trauma.
Wow.
And I like had this, like I watched it with my friends, my senior year of high school, and just like had this total meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, yeah, like why is it that the people, like, especially in my church, like middle class white people get saved because they're in the church and they say the prayer. And then, like, you're screwed if you are born into anything else. And somehow I still went to Bible college and went into pastoral ministry, which
is where
I met.
And that was your goal? I was like, I will continue on this path and I will become a pastor as well.
Yeah. Okay. I think I was like, I could be a better pastor than these pastors.
Ah,
I'm not like...
Yeah. No, you were like, I want to undo, you know, some of their blind spots as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Not arrogant, but yeah.
Yeah, right. It was just like, all right, like, there's this huge disconnect here.
Right.
So, yeah, and, you know, I wanted to be a youth pastor, also in part because, like, that's what everyone wanted to do, because it's like, my youth pastor was so impactful to me, I'm going to walk in their, you know, footsteps or whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's like how every kid kind of wants to be, like, a teacher at some point, too,
right,
you know, because,
exactly.
like, my favorite person I know is my kindergarten teacher, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then I switched to counseling pretty quickly, because I realized, like, I don't want to preach, I just... want to like talk to people and hang out with people. Mm-hmm. And it actually was in a psychology class that I met Danielle, my wife.
Oh.
Or maybe not met. She was a librarian. So I would like just kind of like hang out there. Like,
y'all
all
met
night,
in a library for real?
Yes,
two smart, educated people like y'all met in a freaking right. library?
Come on.
And so, what happened was I had this friend. His name is Tripp. He's from Georgia. He had like moved to Portland on a whim to go to Bible college. We ended up in the same dorm section because our dorm section was the people that they didn't know what to do with. We were like the Island of Misfit Toys dorm section. Like they were able to like put everyone else into like, oh yeah, these people like will kind of jive together. And like we ended up in this dorm section where seriously, like there's me. I don't know which I fall into. I feel like everyone else in that dorm section is either like left the faith or joined a cult.
Oh boy.
And I don't want to say like I'm like so like blinded, like maybe I'm in one of those camps, I just don't know it.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to talk with you afterward. Kevin,
we have some literature and we have a program.
You.
It's like you get to be your own boss.
Exactly.
And you get to make your own
and we
money.
Want to partner with you in your life mm-hmm. together. And of course that yeah. we have a couch for you to live on, like you move in tonight.
Place
if you
to
need
stay.
To.
Like
it's kind of a weird family, you know?
You don't want me to join your whatever it is. I just like poke Danielle and I poke holes in like everything we join. We just like burn things.
Kevin
to the
and
ground
I are very powerful.
I'm low key afraid of the holes you'll poke in the format of this podcast by the end of it. Where it's like, wait, I don't need to listen to this dumb shit anymore.
The damn shit.
But I don't need to listen to this damn shit anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Gracious.
So, you're in college, you're like, I'm going to be better and I'm going to be more comprehensive and I'm going to also really help people, especially people who've been through trauma, whereas the church usually would give them an easy answer for something that's
right. Exactly. Yeah. And I had this friend Trip, we would like sneak up, he smoked, so you know, we would like sneak off campus and like listen to Jack's Mannequin really loud in his car. And, you know, it totally cool. But I was so nervous and not good at approaching girls at all. Danielle was in this class and my friend was more or less not exactly harassing her, but he was like, come on, like, tell me, like, you know, what kind of guys do you like? And she was like, well, I like hairy guys, just like trying to like throw him off. But it's also true. Great. And so he like yells across the class. This is like in this auditorium.
Oh my God.
You know, at the end of Psychology 101. And he's like, Crispin, lift up your shirt. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'll lift up my shirt. So I lifted up my shirt.
Wow.
And the rest is history. I mean, that's basically why we ended up together.
She kind of got like hypnotic swirls in her eyes.
Right. I know. Little known about D.L. Mayfield, it's really just about physical attraction.
Oh, wow. That. Yeah.
And a hairy chest is all it takes.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
I mean, someone was talking the other day on Twitter about a ring by spring, and I was like, no, we were like way better than that. Like, I waited till sophomore. I was 20 years old when I.
Yeah, when you could make great
like,
decisions.
We waited until we were like way more mature.
Right.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
19, I was a child.
Freshman
20
year changed. I basically
year.
Went to war.
Right.
You two got married sophomore year of college?
We got engaged.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So we got married when I was 21. I had just turned 21. Oh. She was 23. So she's older.
Yes.
She asked me like when I was 19, she was like, you're almost 20, right? And I was like, yeah. In the sense of like, I was 3 months into like a year of almost being 20.
I'm closer to 20 than 10 years old. So
This is.
I had a beard. So,
A beard at 19 would rule. That's not something I could do. But I know so many couples around who got married around y'all's age who. Mm-hmm. A lot of them stayed together, very happy, and it worked out great. And a lot of them got divorced. Mm-hmm. Like, you must know that it's so exceptional to be able to grow together in the particular ways that y'all did, that it's not everyone's story, maybe even most people's stories, that was the case. What do you attribute that to?
Well, let me tell you, we got engaged, and Danielle's parents took us out for dessert that night. Like, we did our thing, but... and Danielle was, like, sad. She literally looked, like, depressed. And her mom was like, I'm worried about you. And she was like, I've had all these friends get married and it is just like blown up in their face. This is going to be the hardest thing. Like, she just was totally like not optimistic at all, which actually like turned out really well in the sense of like we went in with like eyes wide open. We were engaged for a year, which is long in the Bible college world. But it did like give us a chance to be like, all right, like what is some of the stuff we need to work out? And then I would say like in a lot of ways, I want to attribute it to her. She is just an amazing person to be married to. A lot of it has been, you know, therapy and understanding ourselves. And, you know, I'm a couples therapist. And so there is that question, like what is it that helps couples succeed and not succeed? And I think that like we've been able to like reset enough times, like where we get disconnected and something's coming up. And I am very conflict avoidant and she is not. And she is like, we need to like actually she when we were engaged, she was like, you're really passive and I'm really not aggressive, determined and make all the decisions. And she's like, if we continue on this trajectory, you're just going to like be a floor mat and I'm going to be a huge bitch. So we need to like change this. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. Like even for her, like in the first, like, at the beginning to be like, oh, this is like an unhealthy dynamic that could like ruin us.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be aware of this. So, yeah.
I'm also trying to place this in the chronology and history of like the mainstream or like evangelical church in America's relationship with even the idea of therapy, because so much of it has gotten co-opted, where as therapy has become more less stigmatized, I guess destigmatized, and more mainstream, and we see
more people are maybe going to therapy for things that they would have gone to church for in the past.
Yeah, so at the time, the idea that you would go into this particular practice, like, did it feel in a sense countercultural just because of like where the church was at that time with therapy?
Yeah, I think not entirely. We actually were at our Bible college at that point, like a shift. Like, by the time I was finished with my 4-year degree, there were like counselors in the dean's department, like there should be in every university. At the beginning, my friend started like an accountability group sort of like thing, you know? And he had to like convince the dean like why he shouldn't just like report everything back to the dean.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like, that concept of like confidentiality didn't like compute to the dean's
department.
Dean was
like,
just like,
no, we just got to make sure everyone's like behaving, you know?
Right, like, exactly.
Have a hands on.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
So I think that was, I was a guinea pig. I went to got my master's of counseling at that same Bible college. I was the second graduating class.
Wow. Oh, so they started that program like a year before you were in it? Wow.
Yeah, 6 months, you know, if we're.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
okay, thank you.
And it was a mix of like some good therapists and some that like we had, I forget what the class was about. I feel like it was about trauma, and she was like, all right, real talk, like, we're just gonna talk about casting out demons this weekend. Stuff like that.
For trauma,
we're gonna give you trauma in this particular class that you can cast out later.
There's actually been no research on trauma, so we're going to go with it.
Yeah, we're just going to go with casting out demons.
Oh, my God.
We had a counseling and diversity class, right? So learning, like, how do you work with other cultures? And we started off the class with our professor showing us a video of, like, this is where the U.S. population should be, but this is where it is.
Oh, no. No, 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 no,
people are coming in and taking over.
No.
And he was like, this is why, yes.
My God. Like, literally, so, like, the white majority is being displaced.
Right. And then.
In the diversity class?
And then he was like, here's how I'm going to teach you about other cultures. We're going to watch YouTube videos of people doing stand-up making fun of different cultures so you can learn about them. Like, literally, like that.
Wow. I'm dying.
It was. I talked to the chair of the program. I was like, this is not okay.
This is horrifying. How did that make it through, like, the approval process? Are you kidding me?
And true to like that small Christian community thing, she was like, why don't you just go and have lunch with him and like,
you
tell
talk
him
to
your
him.
Concerns. Right, yeah.
Wow.
You tell him not to show YouTube videos of right. white people be like for your counseling class.
In my in my training and education, I studied under Professor O'Donnell and Professor Harris and also Wanda Sykes, I guess.
Oh my gosh, that's so wild.
Gracious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, then we graduated, we moved to Minneapolis for 3 years. And basically just worked in this kind of grassroots organization that's super rad, that has been doing ministry stuff, but also like legit like organization, like political organizing around the world. So that was really cool. We were right across the highway from John Piper's church. We continued to see like this gap between like, because churches would come into this like inner city neighborhood and do their stuff, right? And so we were not a fan, but we would
cut
definitely...
to John Piper laying out a piece of cardboard on a street corner like, how do you do, fellow sinners? Here we go.
We're gonna dance.
No, it was more like they like brought a tent with chicken and we ate that chicken. We're like, we are not behind their good in the hood program, but we will eat their free chicken in the park.
They called it good in the hood?
Yes.
All right.
They were bringing good to the hood.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But yeah, I mean, speaking of poking holes in organizations, yeah, we were there for 3 years. It was generally a good organization, but you know, there's a little bit of hole poking. And but we came back to Portland about 6 years ago. I started in something similar to private practice. I'm in a clinic, but nice. And yeah, we've been like hanging out here on the edge of Portland. And yeah, I feel like we just kind of live our life, but there are these things where it's like, oh yeah. I mean, mostly Danielle drags me into things, which I am really grateful for. So in terms of like, I'll be like coming home from work and I'll be like, all right, like, you know, how's the day? And she's like, they are tearing the one park out of our neighborhood that like the kids in the apartment complex can walk to. We are going to do a petition.
Oh my gosh.
And so then we, you know, spend a few weeks like creating a petition, trying
so
to,
cool.
you know, save the park, which are things that I would just be like, oh, you know,
someone
it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, that person is me.
Yeah.
And also like, I mean, you know, we went to a major church here and I am like super non-confrontational, but I'm also the person that like in a church meeting when they're like, and now everyone has to agree that marriage is between one man and one woman. Mm. I'm going to like grab the microphone and be like, so a bunch of us here are affirming we need to have this conversation.
Yeah.
If that doesn't change, like we're leaving and we're gonna like tell everybody else.
Did this literally happen?
That literally happened.
How'd that go? How'd that go down?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of this split between people that are like, well, this is my community, and then a chunk of other people that came with us to our new church. Yeah,
so
which
the church
was,
didn't
you know,
change their stance on it. Ultimately, they were like,
"Nope,
you guys can go."
No, they were like, they were like, "Portlanders don't come to our church because they don't care about God, not because of our stance on LGBTQ." Mm-hmm. It's like, excuse me, like, have you been to Portland?
It's such a bringing a gun to a knife fight
right.
Yeah.
Principle. So, where it's like, right. It's not this; it's God. Actually, it's like, right. That's an interesting definition of God.
Yeah, so we're at our new church. We really like it over there. It's like one of the only like sort of evangelical format. Like we still have like a guy with a guitar
standing
right. Yeah, and up front, you know. But it's affirming and really different in a lot of ways. And like Kevin Garcia spoke a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Who's a friend of yours?
Yeah.
And he probably wouldn't have spoken at our old church. So,
absolutely not. If they were not affirming of his existence, probably.
Yeah. So, but I am worried. Like we love this church, and the pastors are our friends. But we just poke holes in things. I don't know.
Yeah, you're worried that that will be an issue at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you and Danielle
are like little spikes in a balloon. It's like only a matter of time. This thing's going to burst open,
come
baby.
On in.
Keep jingling us.
Right. Yeah. But I do feel like that's like a part of my faith, like that has just like carried on. Is like that, like thinking about like where do outsiders fit in this paradigm? And if outsiders don't feel not only welcome, you know, every church says everyone's welcome. if outsiders don't feel affirmed and find a place and find a healing space in the church, like what are we doing? And
yeah,
so I think that's kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a lovely part that you and Danielle play and a lot of people like you as well. I mean, the legacy of the Protestant Christian Church is just being a reaction to another church.
Right,
you know, like that's how
we'll keep reacting.
Yeah. And like right. forming a new church out of the reaction to that right. and a reaction to that and a reaction to that. And like
right.
even the churches we have now are a reaction to the 50s, you know, and stuff
right,
like that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And that's how those churches move forward too and progress and maintain their values.
I love how like all the like theological theological conservative bros are like really into the Reformation. And you're like, you do understand like, like you the know Reformation.
What that was, right?
Right, yeah.
Was the you the majority controlling right. being wrong? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it important for you and Danielle to still identify as Christians now in 2021? Like what part of that identity resonates for you?
Right. I think like in the sense of like a broader tradition around Jesus, I think that's important. But, you know, of course we don't identify as evangelical anymore. And I think that there's even a dynamic like of like Christian supremacy that we're pretty uncomfortable with, you know, because that comes up. And we'll, you know, sometimes we'll be like, oh, do we want to become Catholic? And then it's like, oh, wait, let's read about
Catholic
this like,
Church
sex abuse
scandal. Non-problematic
hey,
let me, option.
Yeah. Let me check the news real quick, honey. Be right back.
Yeah. Right. It's like, yeah, Catholics are so great. Like, there's no problems. Yeah. Like, there's no hierarchy. There's no, like,
I totally do this all the
worldwide
time, too,
power.
I, like, idealize. And I was like, I should just be Jewish. Like, if you're Jewish, right. everything's all good. You know, like, it's right, really yeah. cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I think, like, that piece is important to me. And I would say I definitely identify as Christian and reserve the right to ask any pointed questions to God or about God that I feel like. Because I feel like there's, like, an honesty there that's required.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, otherwise, like,
you're just holding up like an orthodoxy for the sake of it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
it sounds like
so that's kind of where I landed.
You're literally progressing in the sense of like, yeah, not accepting whatever the infrastructure is at face value, but continuing to push limits and test the boundaries of whatever it is to like the truths of your convictions and y'all's abilities together. It's just so cool. I'm always just so, I don't mean to nerd out on it, but I'm always just so impressed and amazed at like people's capacity to stay together and to be like good, healthy, loving couples in the midst of so much of that like thought process and through that arc. Because like Caroline and her husband's journey is not super dissimilar in that sense. And I would just
he's also a therapist.
Yeah, he's literally a therapist.
He's a couple's therapist
well.
Like right now.
So not dissimilar, and it's yeah, it's very cool to see. Kind of gives me hope for me and Dexter.
Time to go back to school,
okay? Hey, okay. Yeah, actually, listen.
Start to imply.
How long does it take to be a therapist and train? Like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
5 weeks?
Like,
what is it?
Like 6 days. You okay. Can do like
I know,
a crash course.
I know a good Bible college that you could ask.
Hey.
They have this one hilarious class you're going to love. Yeah. I think it's called Christian Comedy.
It's called Christians Be Like 101. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, Crispin, thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't poke too many holes in yours, as you told it.
We wouldn't dare take your job.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. I forgot the name of our show for a second. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Singles Ministry is the format in which we take one single song from the CCM tradition and talk about it, dissect it, deconstruct it, see what the heck is going on. Before we do that, though, Crispin, I want to talk about generally your history with CCM. And then this would probably be a great segue and plug time to talk about your podcast, which kind of is, a sibling podcast of ours, the Prophetic Imagination Station. What is that show, and what are you and your wife, Danielle, do on that show?
Yeah. So in January 2017, the month that Trump was inaugurated, we were like, what the hell happened? I mean, it wasn't that surprising that, you know, 81% of white evangelicals voted for him. But we were like, let's do a deep dive. So we started listening to Adventures in an Odyssey, which is Focus on the Family's radio program.
And Mike Pence's favorite that he would listen to with his family, as he said in many
exactly.
speeches.
Oh, many speeches?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I love Connie, Eugene, and Whit. He's named the characters.
Connie sounded really hot.
Yeah, Connie sounded submissive in a way that I like. Isn't that right, Mother?
I nicknamed her Mother.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. So you guys were like, let's go figure out the bedrock of this community, which of
right,
course
yeah.
is the CIO.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep. So, yeah, it's been running for like 30 years.
Yeah.
We basically listened to a bunch of those, talked about them. Tried to move on to McGee and Me, which just like wasn't as juicy as Adventures in Odyssey.
Mm. No, there's juice in AIO. McGee is a one note little demonoid
right.
man that doesn't
yeah.
have much to say.
That's what I love about him.
No.
Yeah, that's what
Caroline
loves about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Adventures in Odyssey has like, you know, we just listened to one about like Vietnam, like a whole
oh
episode about like.
Yeah, they go
you know,
to some places.
Wait, what is,
right, yeah.
what is their take
yeah.
on Vietnam?
It was good,
people,
actually.
It was a necessary evil.
It was that people have had really bad attitudes about Vietnam.
No,
literally, that is
that
like a phrase.
That was what they said. They had yes. a bad attitude.
Wait, who embodied that POV? Was it Whit? He's like, some people were a little mean about it.
A little too snarky
that was,
about Vietnam.
That, no, it was the... But we did come up with the term Whitsplain,
of course.
Which happens, right?
Yes.
Like once an episode.
Half of that show is old white men explaining the Bible to Connie yes. and why she doesn't
oh
actually get something. Yeah.
Get
oh my
yeah.
gosh. Y'all, if you want to, I mean, I guess we already did it, but I could imagine you could do this 10 times. There's one on God's design for marriage.
Oh, boy.
And they talk a lot about pointed nibs and how you can take a nail and jab it into a wall. And you can have a pen, and it looks like it go like just like a nail. But if you jab it in the wrong place, like it doesn't work.
That can't.
What literally, the fuck?
Is that truly yes. what
that was? That the is, metaphor yes. they chose for children yes. of the 90s was like, y'all remember pointed nibs? Yes. You know, a yes. pen tool that no one wow. uses at all.
So yeah, to be clear, this was like later.
This is yeah, 2000s, right?
2000s, and one of the voice actors is Mark Evan Jackson.
Oh yeah, Mark Evan Jackson, who I met at a party at Matt Gourley's place. He's a very famous, successful comedic actor from like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, who plays a queer right. character on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes. Yes. So we're not entirely sure about this, but we're pretty sure that he was the voice actor for Adventures in Odyssey on this season about God's plan for marriage.
I think he was.
This, oh my God.
At the same time, he was
no.
Recording for Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Cashing his checks.
That is interesting. Oh yeah. All right, shouts out Mark Evan Jackson.
That's crazy.
I know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
I don't know. Wow.
So, yeah, and then we moved on to Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness.
Oh, yes.
And we then went outside the evangelical circle a little bit to C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, which, you know, popular in evangelical settings. And then this season, I'm doing a whole season on Christian hardcore, like Under Oath, Emery, like, you know, Screamo, like Tooth and Nail Records, all that.
Oh, perfect, because this is something a lot of listeners ask us to talk about, and we have zero interest in.
Okay, we're
so
going to send them to your house, okay?
Yeah, right.
To your house. Don't listen to the podcast. Go to Crispin's house and let him talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Right, I will talk for hours. So basically, this season has been a little bit different. Danielle was working on a book, so I'm going to do the like whole, I was like, I'll do the whole produce podcast nice. Thing. So I'm looking at like from a therapist perspective, and I specialize in attachment, like what can we understand about the emotional experience of growing up evangelical through hardcore lyrics, in part because hardcore like wasn't ever really like, it's not the same as CCM where they're like picking through the lyrics, right? Like, so you can say things like God, like, hold me close, destroy my mind, or cleanse my mind, destroy the me that lives inside. All this like kind of semi-suicidal, like, it, like I'm so dirty, I'm so broken, right? That like I hate myself, but you still love me, and like nobody batted an eye because you're like, well, these guys are screaming, and also like this is what we all already believe. We're just not gonna like put it in a worship song, you know.
Plenty of worship songs have that level of like self hatred, but it's just soft around the edges, you know.
Right, exactly. So this is like we're just gonna like say it like really clearly. So it's called Shamecore Records because we're talking about shame in evangelicalism.
Oh my gosh.
So
yeah.
So I love talking about music. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. What's your history generally with like CCM? Like not hardcore stuff and the rest of it.
Right. So, I mean, that's the funny thing. When I was a teenager, I totally would like listen to like Michael W. Smith and Under Oath like at the same time. Like switch one CD out for the other. Right, yeah.
Cacophonous. Yeah. Crucified.
So, yeah, you know, Michael W. Smith, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Mark Schultz.
The softest boys of CCM.
Right, yeah.
Softy Mark, yeah.
It really was. I mean, this Chris Rice was. I hesitate to bring him up. Chris Rice was my favorite, totally my lifeline. But has recently had some allegations brought against him. That's in the middle. There's a lot of stuff there. But yeah, to be honest, like Chris Rice, like got me through. So definitely, like as a therapist and like working with people with trauma, it's just like, on some level, like that's true with any of these artists, right? Like, you know, Michael W. Smith was a huge Trump supporter, etc. I mentioned earlier Jackie Velasquez. I said we could have talked about her today.
Oh yes.
But when I was 16, God told me to stop listening to Jackie Velasquez.
And why was that?
Because I got too aroused listening to her.
You sure did.
I was telling you, it was specifically the like when she started speaking in Spanish in these sort of like whispered tones. I don't know what that means.
I think I do
know what that means.
I relate to this. I was listening to a podcast with Antonio Banderas and I had to turn it off because I got too horny while driving.
He felt the stirring of the spirit.
Yeah. And I lost the stirring of the wheel. Yeah, so I fully understand, Jackie, of course. I'm sure people raised with this stuff would resonate with her as a big time childhood crush.
I wonder how many female CCM artists like lost money because people were like, I can't listen to her to talk to you. It makes me too hot.
Yeah, Sister Rico would be selling out stadiums now if not for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Gracious. Mm-hmm. Certainly
yeah,
get that.
So, right. But yeah, that's, you know, I would say like all the things.
You're listening to a big range of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And was that like your primary, you know, music consumption, or were you also listening to secular stuff too? Okay, yeah.
No, it was like, I can't, you know, I'm too spiritual to listen to.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And then what about FFH? Where did that come in?
Yeah. So they, you know, I liked them. Let's see, this was, we got this FFH album when, remember when everyone's mom joined the record catalog club and you got to choose like 20 CDs?
Columbia
right?
House,
so,
yeah.
FFH was one of those CDs in like 1999.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, you know, poppy and catchy and guitar-y. And I really liked it. And last year, I think it's still in our car, I came upon it in our car. And I was like, I'm going to put this in and listen to it because I liked it back in the day. Uh-huh. And I got through a few songs and I was like, all right, this is okay, you know, like just, you know, some nostalgia. And then I got to this Big Fish song and I was like, wow, this is, I mean, we'll talk about it, but I was like, I gotta talk to someone about this. And then I had forgotten, and then I remembered today.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, we gotta talk about Big Fish.
Oh, so. I can't wait to get into it with you.
Absolutely. So yeah, let's get into it. This is again a former a cappella group from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That was called Far From Home / 4/4 Harmony. they were just called Far From Home, and then there was a legal issue where they had to shorten it to FFH for real. So that did happen at some point. And Dexter is a huge FFH fan. He's really shouting out for them right now. Yeah. He's like, representation matters.
Number one stand.
I saw that they had to change their name from 4/4 Harmony because another band also was named that. So mm-hmm. apparently they didn't learn their lesson
gosh.
When they
yeah.
like
pick anything.
It keeps happening. Yeah. All right, what else should we call ourselves? I don't know. The Beatles? Let's try that.
Actually, let's just do it to the worst sound. FFH. That's it. Let's do that. Yeah.
All right, y'all, we're
nailed it. Yeah, crazy.
All right, here we go. So this is a little bit of the song Big Fish. Little scat
that throws
for you.
Acapella vibes,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Right up front.
This does not represent my community or what we stand for.
Are you from an acapella community?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you in the big fish? Are you sitting in the belly of a well gone mad? And you turn your back on his wish. His will for your life, have you made him sad? Do you want to get out of the big fish? Listen to God and follow his plan, and you won't be part of the main dish. He'll spit you out on the dry land. Spit you out on the dry land.
All right, so far, normal stuff. Nothing to be concerned about, nothing to be alarmed with.
You're one brick short of a load now, brother. You're one shot away from the bullseye. You are missing the mark on your spiritual walk. Started walking away. Now you're sinking into the deep. Wake up from the sleep. See, you're one flash short of a happy meal. You are incomplete by your own deceit. You turned your back. Now you're gone swimming.
Now drown.
Right.
Gracious.
I love all the ways that you are not enough that he lists.
Uh-huh. Caroline, what do you imagine they're wearing right now? What's their attire?
Oh, God. It's like ill-fitting t-shirts from the day they volunteered to like do a city cleanup or something.
Yeah, it's like an XL when they're all mediums
or like
or
a lady tee. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen those. They're like the worst silhouette in the world. Bad.
I used to have one of those of a Bruce Springsteen tour. Yeah.
You did, the ladies.
I imagine them mostly performing at fairgrounds. I don't know if that like resonates, but
don't know which way to go, to the truth or to the dare. If you take the dare, then you'll be swallowed there. Under the truth, then you will find that a rescue arrived just in time to pick you up back on your feet.
Obedience is neat.
We should just end it there. New drop, obedience is neat. And we love, there's nothing more rock and roll than obedience. And being pleading fealty to something.
I actually think that Mark Driscoll, like, that was his, like, line in Punk Seattle.
Is that true? Like, what, obedience really is neat? Is.
Well, maybe not neat, but he was like, there's nothing more punk rock than, like,
oh, he loved,
you know, having a patriarchal family in the midst of this liberal.
Obedience rocks.
Obedience to me is neat.
Right.
Good grief.
You know, I wasn't quite sold on obedience until I heard this song.
And now I'm turning my life around.
I mean, obviously they, like, do a thumbs up, smile, like, at that line, right?
They really had, like, a pose.
They know how to freeze frame on stage, which is, like, kind of hard to do.
Yeah. Wow.
Big fish. Big, big old fish.
It's been a long time since I, like, read or heard the story of Jonah and the whale. Mm-hmm. So just to recap, he was supposed to go to a city and, like, tell them about God. And he had done that enough times where he was just, like, kicked out of the city because mm-hmm. everyone hated him, right? And then he was like, I'm not going to do this. And then,
The ship,
it was like, oh, we're unlucky. Right. We need to throw him off the ship.
So, I mean, he actually was like, I don't want to tell them, I don't want to, like, bring them this news because I hate them. And so I want them to turn. I want them to burn.
He wanted them to burn in hell.
I don't care about these people.
Yeah, right.
And then the sailors on the ship were like, oh, he's, like, causing the storm. God doesn't want it. That's because God's mad at him. So they threw him out. And then he got swallowed by the fish. Mm-hmm. He was in there.
Which actually, I could be wrong, but the fish actually was his salvation. Because otherwise he would have just drowned in the ocean.
Oh, yes.
Which I
the
feel like they
like
miss
a
in this song.
Measure. It wasn't a punishment. Right.
Yeah.
That was, like, evidence. Like, see, God.
Wait, was
like
the fish a metaphor in this real historical story that happened?
100% true. That fish exists. We have the archaeological record.
Right, yeah.
Get this Bible stuff. Oh, God.
So, yeah, that was supposed to demonstrate, like, oh, look how merciful God was to, like, save him. What a cool way for God to invent to save a person.
I'm pretty sure that if you go on, like, Ken Ham's website, who, you know, the Genesis Museum guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he'll probably have an article on there about, like, how a human
fish it was.
Right, yeah. He could live for 3 days.
And next to the recreation of the Ark, they do have a big fish escape room that you can do where it's like you have to find things to get out of there and put together puzzles based on the scriptures.
Okay. All right. I just had to remember, like, why was he in the fish in the first place? Like, what were we supposed to learn from all that? Okay, got it.
I mean, just look at the lyrics. Turned your back on his wish, on his will for your life.
Have you made him sad?
Sad?
Have you made him
I love
sad.
That. It's not like God is mad at you. It's like God is sad
so
at you.
So much worse.
How many times was the phrase grieves the heart of God used as a weapon against you?
Ugh.
In different
or
kinds of
the,
contexts.
Grieving the spirit? Right. Mm-hmm.
In those Christian music forums, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Oh, I bet there was a lot that was grieving God's soul.
Crispin, the length of this post grieves the heart of God. Please keep it to a succinct 2-paragraph max.
It grieves God. God said it grieves him unless you can TLDR.
Oh, my God.
Right. That's so crazy.
The other day, my daughter, who is almost 11, she was telling me, she's like, I'm just sad because a lot of the songs on Just Dance, like, I can't find a censored version of them on Spotify, so I can't listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I was talking to grandma, you know, her grandma about it. And she said that it really, she thinks that, like, that also makes her sad and makes God sad. But I know what my mother-in-law meant was, like, it's sad that there are so many swear words.
Oh.
My daughter definitely took
so
it as
sweet.
Like, God,
like, God
is sad.
God is bummed out that also I can't rock to, like,
right, yeah.
Cardi B's latest.
God wish that the Spotify algorithm would catch up to the needs of children who also love pop music.
I wish there were more radio edits online.
Oh,
right.
I know.
That's so sweet. Well, I'm glad she took it that way. That works out.
Yeah, that sad heart of God thing is a real
oh,
I mean, that was like my main. Okay, so I had two main forms of discipline. One was the paddle, and the other was, like, how do you think Jesus feels when
do
this thing?
Yes, right? Yes.
It just used as, like, a rhetorical device by your parents, you mean?
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Like, Jesus is sad when you do this.
Jesus never was stoked about anything I was doing.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't like when I did something good, they like pulled me aside and were like, how does Jesus feel about you now? Right? No, it was only like, you know, go to your room.
Shame and tame, like tool, like Santa kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Shame and tame. I mean, this definitely, I wonder if there's a subgenre we could identify of music on the show, which is like gleeful justice. Because this song does seem to be...
Yeah, why is there so much fucking bounce to this song?
I know,
don't get swallowed up and make God sad.
I think I described it as the most cheery threat I've ever heard.
Oh, yes, you did. So you did to me this morning. Huh?
Yeah. It also is the exact like sound of not being allowed to have sex.
Wait. Okay, so to be clear, I'm on a date and I say, so do you want to go back to my place? Cut to absolutely not. Okay, well, this has been pleasant and wonderful.
I feel like you're describing a Scrubs episode, by the way.
Yeah, and that also sounds like score to a Scrubs episode. I guess in the end, family is what matters. Good Lord. Oh, very apt assessment, Caroline.
But one short of a load, one shot away from a bullseye. I mean, wow. It's all right there. And you're missing
one,
the mark.
One fry short of a happy meal.
Yeah, so like cute.
Which
with
Caroline,
the lyrics as well.
We should, I don't mean to dox her, but she did get some McDonald's on theme for
Listen,
tonight.
I don't need this heat right now, you know? People knowing that I'm eating a Big Mac.
Because she was just trying to be for the show. She was in it for the show. Research for the show.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been abstaining for a couple weeks and also eating Big Macs.
Preparation
so
for the show.
Let me enter the mindset of FFH.
You're incomplete by your own deceit. Turn your back now. You're going swimming.
Okay, so that whole section, I'm picking up exactly what they're saying because I don't know if you heard this a lot, but it was like the definition of sin is missing the mark. You know, like the bullseye thing. Of
I've never heard that.
You never
actually.
Heard that
no.
before?
Oh, yeah.
Missing
totally.
You know what
mark.
I'm talking about, Crispin?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait,
right.
Break it down for
and
me.
Like,
where it's like.
Like there's the one right thing you're supposed to do, but sin like knocks you just a little bit off a little bit, which suggests that there is literally one right action
so
in
sin
every
is,
situation.
Right. Sin is literally human error in this context.
Yeah, right. And like literally like, so yeah, this is like Kevin, I give you a dart and you have a dart board. And if you don't get it in the exact middle, like you are sinning.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it was supposed to soften the definition of sin. Like when I heard it, was supposed to be like, sin isn't, you know, like the worst thing you've ever done or whatever. And it's not God trying to condemn you. It's just God telling you you've missed the mark.
It's
you know?
Just right. small
like,
things that you're not even thinking are wrong. And they're wrong.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Just a margin of error.
I didn't realize that. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, so I when I read that in that paragraph, I was like, oh, yes, I know exactly what they're trying to say here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just one little choice.
Right, just this list of ways that you are not measuring up. And I like that it's like, it's like this very, like, this is like, okay, so I'm going into therapist mode. This is perfectionism.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, like, I will give like, us a full therapist rundown of this song and the themes.
Okay.
30 minutes or less.
Yes.
Well, like I said, I think a lot about attachment, and that actually has been a huge thing around my like faith is understanding like what does a healthy parent-child dynamic look like? What does an unhealthy parent-child dynamic look like? And then like where are examples of that we see in the church? So this would clearly be one where it's like, yeah, like as long as you are perfect, like we're good, which we learned from McGee and me. I'm going to pull in some other evangelical media here. I always think about The Big Lie, which was the first episode. Mm-hmm. The Nick main character lies about his neighbor and his dad's like, you know, lying is a sin and that's a problem because it hurts people. But what's most important is that it can cut off your relationship with God.
Wow.
So you're thinking like, all right, so you have an 11-year-old that lies, which means that he could lose his relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're going to be anxious and there is all this anxiety.
Dexter's right. feeling this anxiety.
Dexter, yeah. Right, exactly. Dexter knows that anxiety. All this anxiety in growing up, right? Like, I have to get it perfect or I'm going to lose my relationship with God.
Yes, and I love God and I cherish it. Like, I sincerely, and I'm being told right. it's literally the answer to a litany of problems.
Right, yeah, know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's this thing of, like, I'm not allowed to, like, and there's such, like, double speak about it, right? There's grace, like, it's not about works.
But it is. But
but at the same time, like, we can read through these lyrics and it's like, you know, one fry short, one brick yeah. short.
One decision.
Measurable failure.
Yes, one too, you know?
Right, yeah.
And you might not, it's so tiny, you might not have even noticed it. Mm-hmm. I think that was the other scary thing about songs like this is, like, I wouldn't even know I had messed up unless I, like, really examined myself and, like, entered in a really, like, mean mode of my brain, you know?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel good.
Which is where people end up, where it's like, I need to think through everything. Did I make the right decision? Like, am I, you know, staying close to God? And in this song, it's like, if you don't do that, right, there's going to be punishment.
Yes.
And so it's like
disgusting punishment.
Yeah. Like this song, like you have, I mean,
welcome to good Christian fun.
there's like, so, like, you have to read between the lines a little bit here, right? Because it's just about Jonah. But really, it's like, if things are going wrong in your life, it's because you're disobeying God.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, like, chipper tone, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, think about, like, all the things that could go wrong in your life. And this is clearly, like, you turned your back, now you've gone swimming in the most... it feels like something from the Book of Mormon or something, right?
Yeah, like, and, like, the abandonment and loneliness, too, of, like,
right,
swimming,
yeah.
gone, God is far, right. no help, no lifeline, you know, nothing.
Right, yeah. Which, you know, again, with my attachment hat on, it's like, that's the most painful thing. Like, I remember I do talk to a therapist. I was talking to a client years ago who had gone through a lot of trauma, and he was like, me and God, like, he actually said, me and the big guy, like, we have an agreement. I don't like him. He doesn't like me.
Whoa.
Right, yeah.
Or is this the healthiest man alive?
Yeah, that's really right. Yeah.
Did he nail it?
Gosh. He's real. Yeah. We don't like each other.
Yeah. It is very tense. But true.
Wait, finish that sentence. Then what?
Right, yeah. No. I mean, it is interesting to hear, to get to talk to people about their, like, internal views of God. But he said, you know, I know where I'm going when I die, of course, meaning hell. And I was like, well, you know, like, some traditions feel like hell is just this place where the unloving parts of us are torn away, but God never leaves. And he, like, totally softened and was like, I don't mind burning for a while if it means that God is going to keep me around.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Which is,
like,
just
ultimately,
like,
you wanted acceptance, too.
Right. Still. It just speaks to that, like,
yeah.
like punishment is one thing, but, like you said, like, being, like, cast away, like, loneliness, being alone forever,
yeah.
right? Like.
Yeah.
Like we learned in Adventures in Odyssey in that episode where one of the characters goes to hell in the imagination
station.
Oh,
yeah, Eugene goes to hell in the mortal
coil. It's like just
madness,
right?
Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
Oh,
and he's like,
horrifying.
He's like, I was just utterly alone, right? And, like, in pop culture, it's always, like, the devil and, like, you know,
lots
but in
activity.
Evangelicalism, right, yeah. It's, like, pain, but it's kind of fun and, like, you know, but, like, In the evangelical culture, it's this, like, existential sort of, like,
mm-hmm.
what's the most, like, existentially painful thing that we could think of?
Yeah.
You are all alone, disconnected from love forever.
Oh, my god!
And you just have to stay there.
Yeah.
Which I
avoided
think hits
thinking
on
about
this...
hell, like, for that reason. Because either one, because right. I think I also literally
still
thought
there.
You would be punished as well. Like, it would be a lake of fire situation, but also complete mm-hmm. loneliness and knowing that, like, you will never really literally speak or know or see God ever. For
right.
eternity,
or,
which is crazy.
Right.
That's a
I mean,
crazy
Danielle
burden.
Danielle and I had a conversation the other day. She's like, if my Muslim friends are not going to heaven, I am not going. She's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not
and
worth it.
Protesting.
Like, she's like, you have to, like I said, we will poke holes in any system, including the afterlife.
Sure.
She's going to organize. She's going to be like, all
like a heaven protest where it's like,
right, yeah.
come on up. No,
right.
we're not
if it's
going.
It's not a Muslim occlusive heaven. I don't
right, yeah.
You know, I like talking about this with you, especially the attachment thing, because a big like breaking point for me in my faith was realizing that like the understanding of the relationship I had with God was a codependent, abusive relationship that I was taught was a gentle, loving, disciplined father figure, which also wasn't really what my dad was like anyway. So it wasn't like I was making a one-for-one comparison. But over time, realizing like, yeah, if this were any other relationship I have, yeah, it would be codependent. Right. It would be unhealthy as hell. And I would like want to get this person out of my life immediately. Why are we modeling our relationship with God like this? Just because he's omniscient doesn't mean he gets to treat us like shit, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I always think about an episode you guys did a long time ago, but that like you're good when there's nothing good in me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're talking about that song, right?
And that actually deserve that.
And there, you know, I'm writing a book on attachment styles. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but like what's your attachment style with God? And that actually is an attachment style. It's an unhealthy attachment style where it's like, I need you, but I'm terrible and I expect you to love me, and but I'm like totally unlovable. That actually, like, there's actually been a little bit of research around what that looks like in relationship to God, and what they find, surprise, surprise, is that like when you approach God that way, it doesn't actually help you feel less anxious. Like,
it doesn't, obviously. Yeah.
You're like, I don't deserve your love, but you still love me. And somehow rehearsing to yourself over and over that you are undeserving of love doesn't like lead to a lot of security or emotional health.
Yeah.
Or...
it doesn't lead to good vibes. No, anything like that.
Immaculate. And that was such a key in starting to like find a faith or a something that worked for me and actually didn't feel like just a mind trick all the time, you know?
Right. Well, that's the thing, like that anxious attachment style where it's like, you know, we know people like this in our lives, or you've been this person where it's like, are we okay? Like, I need to check all the time.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You know, I'm kind of clingy. Like, are you know?
Maybe I am that person.
Yeah. If I miss a day, like, what happened? Woo! Are we good?
Right. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Like, I texted you, how's your day? And you haven't responded for 5 minutes. And like,
or like,
oh, no,
was it
are you
this
mad
thing
at
I
me?
Said? Or was it this thing I did? You know, trying to like find where the root was, even though it's like nothing. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and you're like, all right, that's not healthy. But in church, like, make sure that you're thinking all the time, like, are you okay with God? Have you done all the right things? Like,
he won't tell you. You'll just feel it. You'll just feel something. Yeah.
Well, no, until you stop feeling something because you grieved the Spirit. So you always have that to look forward to.
That was another big one, too, about that being an unhealthy relationship is, like, God doesn't communicate with me. Even though we're told over and over that God is communicating with me through the Bible, but if the communication I'm receiving is always like really critical and like harsh, you kind of start to realize like maybe I am like picking out a certain theme here, and this isn't. And if it was a good relationship, I shouldn't have to beg God to tell me what's going on.
I think we've described
often,
some of
we
the
talk about this a lot.
Well, some of the communication that we're sold, like the relationship with God, if you do the one-for-one for an actual relationship, he's like a sort of dumb, mean 23-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Where he's like, on a date. He ghosted me again, but I think he loves me, but it's been a long time.
Me I'm a liar.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Right.
So I guess I am. Oh my gosh. Technically, according to him.
Now
at
we're
least
back
in that
together, so I guess we've moved on.
What's the corrective version of this song, of Big Fish? We talked about what's, you know, what's troubling to us about it.
Well, I think we scrapped the doodad dee dum dum dums right at the top.
So, my place or yours? Okay, I understand. I don't want to push your boundaries. Have a good day.
You maybe had some sort of, any sort of sexual experience, partnered or otherwise. We can start writing the song.
I don't want to like divert to pop culture, but does anyone know? I mean, it has such a cappella vibes to me. Anyone know of any like good sex scenes in a movie with an a cappella soundtrack? Like,
ooh, now this is good. This is an area of interest for me and for a multitude of reasons.
That would be really pushing the boundaries.
Like, imagine, the sex scene from Ghosts, but set to. I guess an a cappella version of Righteous Melody. Wow. Or imagine the Titanic sex scene with the hand across the window. If you guys know of one, you know, listeners,
does Pitch Perfect have a sex scene with acapella?
Unfortunately, no. The closest they get is Anna Kendrick and what's her name in the shower, but they don't even touch each other.
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point of two girls in the shower? No touchy. Oh, sorry. We went back to Zoo Crew.
Sorry.
I was going to say, like, you just
educated
went,
therapist,
like,
man. No, what? You,
no, no. I mean, for one, I was impressed that you were just like, knew exactly, because I was like, I bet that you didn't just watch Pitch Perfect the other night after your wife went to sleep.
No,
like I did last week.
No, I didn't. I did not. No.
Ooh, when they battle each other in the like part. Oh, the
it best. Is Aka yeah. awesome. It I have to awesome. Own up to right. that.
I love that part.
Now, I mean, on the subject of acapella grips, though, friends, it's time for something we do often on the show, Crispin, which is a segment called Cover Me. In which we try to find covers of the song in question up for discussion on YouTube. And there's a few. There's a few on YouTube.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead share the screen with you, Crispin.
I mean, when the Bible colleges found this song,
the first one
game
up,
over.
The men of Hart, Reinhardt University. Oh, so they did do a cover of this back in 2013. Let's go ahead and listen to what this sounds like. Oh, they sound scared. They sound like they're running for their lives.
Do you mean like scared of the threat of divine wrath or like nervous?
I low calm A, low calm B, Crispin.
No, these guys are actually all right in the pocket. I can tell.
Big. I shouldn't.
Just make fun of these people.
Listen to God and follow his plan. Hey, props to the egg shaker guy working overtime
on
this one.
So they broke off of the whole choir just to sing this whole song?
Just the fellas.
These boys?
Yep. Dustin is the man, is the only comment on this one. So
Dustin,
you know.
Dustin, you are the man.
Okay, here's a performance at a youth convention in 2010. Okay, this one's a little sexier, a little more mid-tempo.
So what about
follow
dead
ass
sexier to you?
The tempo is slower. That's what I mean. It doesn't.
It is very Barton Bellas at the beginning of Pitch Perfect.
Yeah,
for the record. If you're trying
exactly
to picture this at home,
it. Very much Barton Bellas. Yeah, pre remix.
Okay, now this is one gentleman looped five times. This has 3 views. He sounds good though.
He's doing a huge service to this song. He's getting a fresh comment from KTP. This is nice.
I just had the comment, nice. He's feeling the song. He's doing it with his whole face. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So the legacy of this song lives on, even despite all of our progressive
effect.
PC issues with it. It still lives on.
Powerful
in
message.
Infamy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Quite
I
powerful.
Think the corrective version of this is basically shit happens and God is with you.
Yeah.
And there we go. Right?
Hey, like, we've all been in a fish. Here and there.
Right.
And guess what? You'll survive.
Hey,
and
that's
you're
going to
eat sushi again one day, and it won't make you throw up.
And then maybe I'll, you know, find companionship of some sort.
Is no hope for you, Kevin Porter. It will not happen. Turn the song off immediately. Oh, dang,
wow.
They did a remix. But
hope for some, not
for
all.
They said, no way. Damn.
Oh, my God. Well, Crispin, I think it's time to get to the point in the episode where we give this thing a roast or a toast. We're going to give it a thumbs up, which is a holy toast, which we send it to heaven where the angels are toasting it with their little champagne forever. Or holy roast, which is a thumbs down. And we send it, unfortunately, to... So we'll start as per usual, Caroline. Caroline,
wow.
What are your thoughts?
I wish this the loneliest spot in hell, the deepest pit of void for
wow.
this song. And y'all, you know, just get out there. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe go out in the town mm-hmm. a couple times. Maybe meet a stranger.
You're telling the good folks of FFH?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go Wait, have some fun.
Should I meet a stranger? Let me cue it up. No, I'm not going to do it again. All right. Fair. Checks out. Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Crispin.
I'm going to give it a thumbs down.
Wow. Yeah, it's a whole roast, huh?
Yeah. For the I mean, the psychological dissonance that this creates.
Truly.
I feel like it is like, we are threatening you with punishment for not obeying God, and we're going to like be singing and smiling the whole
like a
time.
It's like a propaganda poster.
It's like when serial killers smile in horror movies or something where they're like doing their victims in. Yeah, not so good.
I want a bumper sticker that says obedience is neat.
We can make that happen.
Guess what? I have some for you. It's me, Mark Driscoll.
Oh, no.
I've Zoom bombed the meeting.
Come to Arizona.
Come to Arizona. And don't you dare get within 6 feet of my daughter. They're still social distancing for the rest of their life. I will also give it a unanimous roast for all the reasons stated above. And also, it's named Big Fish. I don't know who she is. I never got to know her as a character. What are her desires? What does she want? Does she care that a sinful person is inside of her mouth and her belly for whatever amount of time? What's her story? What secrets does she hide? And I never got to know that about her.
Thank you for bringing that to the table. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. No, and for me, it's like I kind of just have a lot of empathy for whatever the female character is. I don't know. That's just like the way I've built.
Shut up! No,
not again! Dexter's looking at me right now with a look of like...
Do better.
Acknowledgement, and yes, do better.
Hey, this is ridiculous.
Nah, Kevin's doing just fine. Let's be clear.
Okay, no, we don't need to. Okay. Oh, boy. Well, that is our rating and ranking of it, dear listener. But if you disagree with us, you can go to @ChristianFunPod. Vote for yourself. So get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Guess what? Cozy economy.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Okay.
Joseph.
Joe. Do you think the president would have a lot of thoughts on this song, given that he saw it all happen for himself?
He was there.
Yeah, he was kind of a witness. He bore witness, and like it's kind of based on his firsthand account.
Howdy, Joe.
He has some objections to it. Crispin, in here, we're dimming the lights, we're lighting the candles, and we're not here to promote ourselves or our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord as a loving and humble sacrifice, and especially to our special guy right here, little Dexter, our producer on the ones and twos. And we're going to start this process by lifting up our social media handles and what we're working on, anything we're enjoying the secular culture with Caroline.
I'm killing the screen over. You can lift me up, save me from the void at Caroline's Farts on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, if you're feeling spicy. I don't really have a lift up this week. I feel bad. Maybe the movie Zola, although there's mixed reviews between Kevin and I.
Hey,
unfortunately,
listen.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie.
I don't want to change your opinion.
No, I just want to be informed. You know, not everyone has a great reaction to it.
You are informed. You're more informed than me. Come on.
Wow, thank you. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Caroline. We'll turn it to Crispin.
All right. I'm doing that thing, that Christian thing where it's like, wait, what's the language we're supposed to use?
Lifting up.
Right, like what? Yeah. Right.
Lift it up, my friend.
So, all right.
Or lay it at the feet of Jesus. You can choose either.
Okay. I will lay my Twitter handle at the feet of Jesus.
Where it belongs.
And you can find me on Twitter @K_Mayfield. I'm also over on Instagram. I don't do anything else. And
you're not on Dad TikTok? No. Dad Talk.
You would clean up on Dad TikTok.
Oh, no, yeah. You could do like
or therapist
attachment
TikTok.
Style. Yeah. Good. Bad. And the pointing thing.
Right. I mean, why do I have to be a real therapist when I could be a TikTok therapist?
That's
right?
What I'm pivoting to, brother.
Much more work.
I'm sure they get paid.
Yeah. Or you could just do reaction videos to Piper's son on TikTok. That would be
Yeah.
What if nothing matters and nothing is anything? 900,000 likes.
Cool guy.
I've been trying to connect with him. You don't know how much, how many Piper sermons I've listened to working on my current podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I bet.
And also my book, because, which I guess is another thing that I'm lifting
up. Lift it up. Please.
Is Attached to God. It's coming out in February of next year, which is not that far away.
No.
And I definitely talk about, like, from an attachment perspective.
Oh my gosh.
What are some things that Piper has said that are not helpful? A few other folks as well. But yeah, looking at, like, what is your attachment style and what's that look like in relating to God.
I'm so glad you're writing that book.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling a lot from what I've learned in couples therapy. And then, yeah, right now we're doing Shamecore Records. So if you like heavier music, over at Prophetic Imagination Station podcast. And I think that is about it. We're gonna talk about a Christian romance this fall.
So we're gonna
pivot from men in tight jeans screaming to Amish men and women barely talking
scheming.
And then getting
scheming.
Married.
From screaming to scheming.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's such a great genre to talk about too. So
things
Christian
like
romance,
redeeming love, that novel.
Oh
things
yeah,
of the
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which of course,
very strange.
You must know the film adaptation is coming to us later this year. So
yeah, just
nice
in time.
The show.
Right.
Wow.
Very exciting.
What's something in the secular culture you've experienced recently that you enjoy?
So over here, we've been watching The Great Pottery Throwdown, which is what happens when you are obsessed with boring British reality TV like Great British Bake Off,
yes.
like everyone else is.
Yes.
But then you hit the end of the pandemic. Well, not the end, but you hit a year and a half in. Right. Yeah. Right. When you hit a year and a half in and you're like, there's literally nothing else to watch.
Talk to me when you watch The Repair Shop.
Oh yeah, see, we already did that, right?
Okay.
You Repair Shop. Like, you
burned through the
yes,
Repair
we,
Shop.
Yes, we are
too.
Like, yes, we are.
The Great Flower Fight.
I'm a therapist.
Fight?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
I mean, we've done it all.
Wow.
Not British, but making it Lego.
Yes.
You know,
they're
Lego
struggling.
Masters.
Oh,
yes.
Like. We
oh, the Will
are,
Arnett
I'm a
Lego competition show. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole thing that they used to be married and now they're doing parallel. But anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Wow. Oh, that is funny. That is
right.
Funny. I didn't.
It's
think about
very
that.
Similar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as a therapist, and then my wife who works who hears a lot of stories of trauma and etc. Like when it comes to. You know, watching something at night, we're gonna watch like the most calming thing ever.
Yes.
So.
Oh yeah, of
yes.
course.
That's where we go.
That's right.
Good calming yeah. recommendations. Thank you, Chris.
Are you taking any clients? Mm-hmm.
I am not taking clients.
Okay.
Two more. That's the
but
sound of my
I don't think we have
rejection.
Any problems, would you say,
unless,
based off that?
Yeah,
no, yeah
this
yeah,
experience
right.
is pretty flawless.
Perfect
from
oh,
the
yeah,
other
totally.
End.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I probably a conflict of interest, but if any of the members of FFH want to do some personal work.
Okay, open call
wow.
to the FFH.
Well, I'll tell you what. Truly, it used to be a quartet, a cappella quartet, and then it has whittled down recently to a husband and wife duo. The husband does lead worship at
it's
a church in Irvine,
ever.
California. Yeah, they say good night in harmony and good morning in harmony.
A cappella group.
Yeah. They wake up. They sing in the. They take showers together just so they can sing in the shower and do that that Sia song that they didn't pitch.
Well,
perfectly.
They do. We did an earlier rendition of it. Horny.
Yeah. So they do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Honey.
A cappella baby. Anyway.
Oh gosh, thank you, Crispin. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I don't know. I'll freaking lift up something I'm lifting up in 3 days from now on the next episode. The Barbara Streisand YouTube rabbit hole I've gone down. Mm. Watch Barbara Streisand and Burt Bacharach on YouTube. It's gonna get you in a certain kind of mood for this season that I think you're gonna enjoy. It's one of the hottest things I've ever seen. Maybe this is just my personal taste talking, but them singing, Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear? What's that song called? Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear? The Carpenters did a version of it? Come on.
Yeah,
oh.
I mean, I only ever hear that song secondhand.
Yeah. Oh, They Long to Be Close to You isn't the name of the song. Mm. Close to You is the name of the song. So Bird Back Rock and Barbara Streisand doing that song. So watch that. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is?
This month's charity is the National Day Laborer Organizing Network, or NDLON.
Ooh. And Lon, like Enron, but better. Crispin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank what so a much. Delight. This was so awesome. Thanks for making it work today.
Yeah.
What
a fun time. Thanks for talking to me about FFH.
Anytime. Yeah.
Elsewell.
Yeah. And there's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Okay. Well, yeah. What a great show.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was great. Let me, hang on. Sorry. I just got a text. Let me check it real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, no. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.